This is a continuation of the January 4th, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us is petition number 305 for property ID 227-393-008. The property is owned by Theodore M. Halleck and Francis M. Halleck. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have both Theodore Halleck and Francis Halleck present over video chat for the appellant. You don't both have to speak, but whoever would like to speak, go ahead and raise your right hand and we'll get you sworn in.
Okay.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Is your other half going to speak?
Yeah. No, I'm not going to speak.
Okay. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2021. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Thank you. On the additional evidence that I submitted on November 22nd, I resubmitted the write-up with changes in bold, and I have included an additional comparable property sales worksheet to list an additional property, which is comparable number four. Our house resides in a small gated community with 9 homes in a subdivision. When we first moved in, this was a great community, but things have changed, which lowers the value of our home. Noise, since we have moved in, when we first moved in, a little over 6 years ago, the noise has drastically increased because we have much more traffic on Northeast 72nd Avenue, Northeast 259th Street, and Northeast Manley Road, which borders our subdivision. We also have increased noise from high-speed vehicles, trucks, loud motorcycles. The roads go all the way around our subdivision, and a lot of people seem to think that this is a raceway. We have a lot more planes and helicopters that fly over our subdivision, and I think just a lot more people are taking flying lessons and stuff because we have a lot more planes and helicopters. We had safety improvements on 259th Street, and the county removed approximately 600 feet of trees. That these trees acted as a sound barrier, and the noise has drastically increased, and several neighbors have mentioned that about the noise. And also, we have higher winds because these trees not only reduce the sound, but they reduce the wind. And now that the trees are gone, we have much more wind in our subdivision. Also, with the removal of the trees, cars going by our subdivision, before they could not see our subdivision, they were hidden behind the trees. But now our subdivision is open for anybody driving by. So as a result, vehicles will drive into our subdivision, and we're getting a lot more people trying to enter our subdivision. They'll come in behind vehicles that belong to the subdivision. And we have posted a no trespassing sign at the entrance, but we do have unauthorized visitors in our subdivision that we don't really appreciate or like. The smell around here, when we have east winds, we have a farm at the bottom of the hill, and we smell manure or burning trash for days at a time, as long as we have a east or southeast wind. In our entryway, we have neighbors that share the entryway road. The trash truck can't get back to those houses, so they put a big dumpster there. And the dumpster is unsightly, and what happens is trash will get, there'll be too much trash, and it will be flowing outside. We have people that come from outside the subdivision to use that dumpster. Okay, so to try to keep people dumping trash into that dumpster that's outside our subdivision, the people that live on that back road have put a lock on that dumpster. This has resulted in people bringing their trash bags and putting them by our mailboxes so that somebody else has to take care of it. So that's kind of disconcerting about the trash pickup. We've had our mailbox broken into twice. So we make it a point that whenever we have mail, we go pick it up, because otherwise it might be stolen out of the box. And we've reported it, but that's about all you can do. You can report it, but nothing's going to be done. On our subdivision home sales, 25719 Northeast 74th Court is a two-story, six-bedroom, five-bath, 6,630-square-foot house, and this is counting the detached garage. The house sold on December 18th of 2019 for $850,000. The couple that lived there moved during the 14 months the house sat in the market and usually come back for a couple of days each month. We would look after the house while they're gone, and we would check the outside and inside. We would turn the heat on during the winter whenever they would have a showing. But we always were amazed at the fine details of the house. It was a high-end house, and inside and outside. The house was originally listed at $1.2 million, but there are no buyers, so they had to lower the price. And I know at least one of the buyers really liked the house, but they said there was way too much road noise, and that's why they did not buy the house. Next subdivision home sales is 25615 Northeast 74th Court. This was a two-story, four-bedroom, four-bath, 3,987-square-foot house. It sold on May 15th of 2020 for $830,000. This home was also on the market for a long time, and a couple had to reduce the price several times in order to sell the house. The home had a kitchen makeover, was freshly painted, and sits on a large park-like 2 acres. This house is right next to ours. We're very familiar with it. We've been in the house. We know what the inside looks like, the outside. Again, this house was a very high-end house. The third house, 7220 Northeast 254th Street, it was originally it was pending, and this house sold, this house, stables, and pasture sold on July 26th of 2021 for $1,701,000. The fourth house in our subdivision to sell was 25517 Northeast 74th Court. This was this was house on a market and received unfavorable reviews. They took it off the market, then they relisted, then they took it off the market because people would complain that the pasture needed to be mowed and everything else. So they had it on and off the market for quite a while, but the house eventually sold on November 19th of 2021 for $899,000. The fifth house to sell was 25501 Northeast 74th Court. The homeowners spent, you know, months getting ready to sell, and it did sell on September 19th of 21 for $1,514,000.
How big was that house?
That house, 1 second, I'll look at the comparables.
Well, you don't have that one listed, is it, in detail?
No.
25517, is that the one you just talked about? Is that that fourth comp that you gave us?
No, it's 25501.
Okay. Yeah, it's hard to compare if we don't have the details on it, square footage and that sort of thing.
No, that one we did not compare. That wasn't listed as a comparable, and I don't have the square footage, Andy, on that house. That wasn't, like I said, that wasn't one of the comparables. You know, we have nine houses, and five of those houses have sold in the last year and a half. So my point is that what I'm saying is absolutely correct, that the value of our houses have been degraded by changes that have been made in our subdivision, that it's not as nice a place to live as it once was. And on a comparable property sales, I had three houses listed originally, and then I added the comparable, one of them, comparable number one, that's the one that's next door to our house, that has, the house has more square footage, excellent condition, has three times usable acreage than what we have. House sold for $830,000, which is $136,273 less than what our house has been valued. Our house has been valued at $966,273. Comparable number one sold for $830,000. The new tax value for this property is $934,289. So my question, or our question, would be, how come a house that's bigger, in better condition, with more acreage, is valued $31,984 less than our house? The house,
which one is that? Is that 25615?
Yeah, it's comp one.
Yeah, it was comp number one.
That's, yeah, that's in your subdivision.
Use it as comp three, yeah.
Okay. The new comp that I added, comp number four, is 25517 Northeast 74th Court. It sold for $899,000. This house has 2.62 acres, five bedrooms, three and a half baths. It also has a very nice attached guest quarters, which they could go ahead and rent that out. The tax value for this property is $913,250. Again, the house is bigger than ours, with much more land, is valued $53,023 less than our home. And this comparable number four just recently sold on November 19th of 2021. Our land, on the rolls is listed as 1.94 acres, and we probably have a little bit less than an acre of usable land. We have a very steep hill behind us that goes down to the farm. We can't use that, so we really, I mean, yes, listed as 1.94, but in actuality, we have less than that usable land. My wife and I are both senior citizens, and I'm also a Marine combat veteran of Vietnam who has a service-connected disability. I would hope that these factors would be taken into consideration. Our previous value was listed as $838,854, and a notice of value dated June 3rd of 21 as a new home value listed as $966,273, which is an increase of 15.19%. Considering the factors that that I just mentioned, we feel a fair estimated value would be $872,408. And that concludes our discussion. So thank you. Any questions we can answer?
Nope, I think I got it.
Well, yeah. I don't have any questions.
Mm-hmm. No, I have enough information. Thank you.
Thank you.
You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, I'm going to drop you folks off the meeting, and then Dan, would you like me to close it?
Close the hearing, yes.
Here we go. This is the January 4th, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 303 for property ID 139373000. The property is owned by Richard Landis and Patricia Landis. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Richard Landis on the phone for the appellant. So I know we can't see you, but if you could please raise your right hand, we'll get you sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2021. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
As you're aware, I actually filed two different documents on the appeal. One had to do with a loss of 920 square feet of my private property through an error caused by a different department within Clark County Public Works and their contractor when they made the mistake and chip sealed a portion of my private property, which I can no longer use. I can't mow it. I can't park my John Deere Gator ATV because everybody thinks it's part of the public road. Now, according to the assessors, ruling is they're obligated by law to value properties at market value, supported by sales. Well, my property hasn't sold, but I can understand where they're coming from saying that, but if I were to sell the property, I'd have to disclose the fact that these 920 square feet of my property can't be used by him. So that was my initial issue. However, when the appraiser's findings and response came back, I realized there was a major, major problem. They're claiming that this house was built in 1972. And then they try to compare this with four other properties. My contention is this house has existed since 1924, 50 years before they said it was ever built. Now, the pictures I provided of the foundation, which is still the foundation of the major part of the house, would never have met building code in 1972, as Clark County adopted the Uniform Building Code in 1970. They would not have allowed barbed wire to be put in concrete to reinforce it in 1972. The fact that there's been water provided by the City of Camas from 1924 until 1987 when we tried to purchase this property, and they then determined that they were going to have to cut us off from this water line that had been providing 5,000 gallons per month at no cost, because the water was coming from Jones Creek and through the pipeline and was not treated before it reached our house. So they insisted that they were going to have to terminate the water to the house. But they did agree in 1987 that they would drill a well on our property. And it's the only well in record with the Department of Ecology for this property. So this house has been receiving water since 1924, not 1972. Now, there was also recorded in the auditor's file there in Clark County easements for power going back to 1945. So what I'm saying is when the assessor said has provided four comparable sales in all the neighborhood 19, all four sales are inferior to the subject in acreage site. I agree with that. I've got 13 acres. The four properties they reference have five. But then they say the quality of construction. I disagree with this vehemently, because all they had to do was go on their own system, Clark County GIS, and look at the assessor's comparable sales for sale 1, sale 2, sale 3, and sale 4, and they would find that there were building permits taken out to build these houses. If they had run the same GIS system against my property, they would have realized there is no building permit, because this house was built long before 1970. And so I'm not sure where they come up with quality of construction at all. I mean, our basement is a dirt floor basement. Whoever built this house built it at the highest point on our 13 acres. All the waters that come off the roof have always flowed away. We've never had a wet basement, but it's a dirt floor. So my contention is they missed when this house was constructed by almost 50 years. And if you compare it to the properties they are showing, one's 64 years newer, 170 years newer, 171 years newer, 162. So that's my contention, is they, in the 34 years we've lived here, no assessor has ever knocked on our door and asked to come in and look at the inside or the basement of the property. And, you know, I was a public servant for Clark County and the City of Vancouver, and I had to do my work, I had to make contact with citizens. The assessors, either they're overworked and they don't have time, or they don't want to get in confrontation with property owners. And I can understand that, because of the code enforcement office for the county and the City of Vancouver, you know, sometimes you would get in confrontations, but you still have the obligation of the public servant to make contact. If they would have just knocked on our door, I could have showed them, especially the foundation that's got barbed wire in there versus rebar. So, you know, I don't know how you adjust this, but the fact is, I think I provided enough documentation in the second response to show there's been a house here. At least they're receiving 5,000 gallons of water per month from the City of Camas, and they wouldn't have needed it for livestock, because 1924, this is open range. You didn't have to have your livestock confined. And there's streams and ponds on my property. There's two different streams on my property and my neighbor's property across the street. It was all owned by Mike Grimm, who, and the reason I think they got a mistake on the 1972 is, in 1972, Mike Grimm, who lived in the house that I live in now, owned about 100 acres surrounding us, and he built three houses in 1972 directly across the street from our property. That's the only rationale that I can figure out that they've come up with 1972 as the date this was built. So I can't see the quality of construction at all. Yes, we did put up log siding over the T111 that was on this house when we first moved here. All of the number of outbuildings are all ag buildings. So that's my contention. A lot of this documentation was readily available to the assessor's office, but either they're overworked or they don't coordinate with other departments within Clark County. They don't, a lot of this is filed by the auditor's office. Easements were filed for the auditor's office. They're recorded. So that's basically my position. Do you have any other questions?
No, I understand your situation. I have no basis for which to value it is the problem.
No basis for what?
To value it.
Well, I think they need to go back and find houses that were built in 1924, and it shows that, and ask and see if they can figure out their valuation.
Technically, we can only look at what you provided us.
But you're looking what the assessor's office provided you.
Yeah, I mean, that's our obligation, is to look at the information provided by you and the assessor. I mean, I don't have any other basis to value the property. I mean, in other words, we don't have anything that I can read all the information and I can understand your position. I don't understand how we get to that without comparable properties or some other valuation of the property. Have you ever had an appraisal?
Well, we lived here for 34 years. No, I didn't have an appraised in the 34 years we lived here. Never needed to. I don't have a mortgage on it. It's paid off entirely. So I wouldn't need an appraisal unless I was going to try and sell the property.
Well, wouldn't this almost qualify as a manifest error because they're 50 years off on the age of the home?
Say that again, please.
I was kind of directing the question to Dan, but I said,
okay,
this would almost qualify as a manifest error because they're 50 years off on the age of the home. I mean, that's an error of fact. That's not an error of opinion.
Is there anything in this documentation that would point us to the fact that as to when the house was built?
Well, other than it was receiving 5,000 gallons of water since 1924 from the city of Camas. It also shows that there was electricity coming to this property in the 1940s. There's recorded easements for the power company, but at that time it was not Clark County PUD, but Clark County PUD now has the easement on our property, so the electricity has been coming here since the 1940s.
And so, did you include packet? Is that included in your packet somewhere?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Okay, that's good.
And I included in the packet the letter dated 1924 from Mr. Hinkle, who gave the city of Camas a right-of-way for the water line, and in turn, he received, and it's recorded at the auditor's office, and I think I provided that to you as far as documentation in the So I don't know what else. I mean, the fact there was water coming here and electricity coming here long before 1972. And the only reason anybody would need 5,000 gallons a month would be for a residence. As I said, you didn't need it for livestock because this was open range back there, back then.
Michelle, would you look it up on the GIS and see whether they say it's in the property description page, whether the age is this effective age or actual age? I can't see that. So
sorry. So on the GIS, like the Property Information Center, it listed as the actual year built having been 1972 and the effective year as 1985.
That's wrong. Yep.
And so on Maps Online, I think the farthest back I can go is 1955. But there's the difference. It's not a very good picture.
But you know, when I worked for the county, in the assessor's office, they had what we called blue line maps. Now, those have all been archived up to Olympia. And they would show, I don't know how far back they went. I mean, when I worked there in the 1990s, I could go back to the 1980s and sometimes even the 1970s. And the blue line maps, basically, if there was a structure built, it would show up as a white structure. And the rest of the property would just show up as a kind of a blue coloring. I don't know if you can go back and look that far back or not.
What's the date of that black and white picture, Jill?
This one's 1974.
So it's clearly a house there at that time of some kind. What's the date of that one?
So that's 74, that one's 68. And it looks like it's a little bit off center, so like there's this tree here. And now the tree's, I think, this one here.
Well, there's a structure there, it looks like, yeah, of some sort. All right, the best we can do, I think, is recommend that they examine their information and see if there isn't a manifest error in this process.
You know, I've got two of my neighbors. One's lived here for 1974. The other one actually worked for Mike Grimm in the 1960s when Mike Grimm was doing some adding a small area onto the house that I live in now. And Bernie Ritter, he's lived across the street here for almost 4 years. He worked for Mike Grimm when he was 16 years old, and he could tell you what was here in the 1960s. And I could type up a statement, but it's a little too late for that because it all has to be in by today. So,
I feel like he's provided us with enough information to document that the house has been here considerably longer than 1972.
Okay. I think we've gotten all the information that we need to for our purposes, so you'll hear from us within 30 days.
All right. Appreciate your time, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the January 4th, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves case number 307 for property ID 140684000. The property is owned by Wayne G. Peterson and Susan K. Peterson trustees. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Wayne Peterson and Susan Peterson present over video chat for the appellant. You don't both have to speak, but whoever would like to go ahead and raise your right hand and we'll get you sworn in.
Okay.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2021. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as to the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Great. Thank you. No, I don't have any more questions. I do have a couple of corrections on things that you have in front of you. I have the sheet that starts with homes are within four blocks in the same neighborhood. Do you see that?
Yes.
Okay. And under sale number two, as far as view, they have a view of Portland. I put no view. They have an amazing view of Portland. Okay, and then on the other sheet that says number four, specific reasons. Got that sheet?
Yes.
Okay, and second paragraph, I say property three. There is no property three. That should be property number two.
Okay.
And again, my reasons, I would just say that last year we were assessed at 954. You folks reduced it to 812. This year, the assessor puts it at, you know, over $1 million, 25% increase, and we had zero improvements here. And then that property number, I wrote three, it should be two, recently sold for $10,000 over our assessed value. And it is of note that this, their house is nearly 2,000 square feet larger with, it's a really high-end house, very high-end appliances and kitchen and all that kind of stuff. An amazing outdoor patio and an entertainment area, and again with a view of Portland. So we're kind of not in that class. And I would again say that that property number two was built in 2014, where ours was built in 2008. Theirs is 5 acres, similar to ours, and so on. It is 4 bedrooms, 6 baths, over 5,800 square feet with that high-end kitchen, large deck, and a view of Portland. So I just feel like that maybe we should be reduced to, let's see, what did I ask for? You can see what I asked for there, right?
893.
I'm still listening.
Any questions for me?
Are you in Brer Prairie?
Yes. I know. I think I got something from the assessor's office that kind of rebutted me, and I noticed that, you know, all their stuff is Camas, and as you know, Camas property is, I would think that our property, if it were in Camas, would be a couple hundred thousand dollars more than what, you know, would be here. To me, that's kind of apples and oranges. I just feel like, you know, we are 9 miles away from Highway 14, and that restricts us.
Your feet up. I think I have enough information to make a decision.
Okay.
The assessor shows your property, sale number two, with 3,852 square feet, and you show it at 5,851.
Is there a basement?
Sandy's property.
You show property number, or the assessor shows it at what?
3,852 square feet.
Where did I get the 58? I knew I got that. Now, does the assessor include the garages?
No.
No.
And what do you have us at?
At you at 4224.
And that's including our garages. We don't have that much square footage. And I asked that last year, and you said, no, the garages are part of it. But that doesn't make any sense, does it? I mean, I thought it was...
You listed as the main and upper square feet. Do you have an upper level?
It's over the garage.
That's it.
Oh, okay. So over the garage, yes, would be included, but not the garage itself.
Right, yeah. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
3,288?
Excuse me?
Is that included in your 3,288?
Yes.
Can you show your property?
Yes.
They show 4,224 on their list, and they show that other house at 3,852.
That's
several levels.
They have several levels, and they've got four bedrooms. It's huge. Something's not right. They have six baths. You have them at six baths? Four bedrooms?
Well, he doesn't list bedrooms and bathrooms. He just lists the square footage.
Two full floors.
Just for reference, I've got pickup.
Which one do you have up?
This is his.
His the appellant or his the comp?
The appellant. This should be Peterson.
Yes. Yeah, that's ours. Yeah.
So what do they have it listed at?
So these are both showing 3,288 as the main floor and then 936. It looks like 936 total as the upper floor because this is showing the bonus room above the garage is being listed at 684. And then it sounds like there's a big closet that's 252, which is where they're getting that 936. And this doesn't break down for bedrooms or anything.
What does property number two show?
Could you give me the property ID for that?
1-4-0-6-7-7-0-0.
Yeah,
this is showing 2635 for the main and 1216 for the second. Does not give a breakdown as far as their calculations.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. I do not know where I got that 5,000 square feet, but to me, when I got that, I went, yeah, that makes sense. You know, they're huge.
Double R.
I don't know what to say. See, they have is that a pretty full upstairs, right?
It does, it's not a perfect breakdown, but it does show for the main, it looks like there's an upper area of 902 square feet, and then over the garage, there's 314 square feet. So that would be where they're getting that 1,216.
Okay. 1,216 plus what's the main floor?
2,635.
I don't know. I can't argue with that.
Okay, I think we have it.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. You hear from us within 30 days.
Thank you very much. Can I talk with Michelle for just a moment?
Sure. I won't be able to drop off this, but I can mute myself on the meeting and you can give me a call. I'll go ahead and close the meeting if that's all right with Dan, and then I'll mute myself here.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah. So should I call you then? On the phone?
Yeah, so go ahead and give me a call. Do you have a pen handy?
Go ahead.
Go ahead and call 564-397-4005, and that'll go straight to me.
Oh, great. Good. Thanks, yeah. Folks.
And then Dan, I'll go ahead and step out of the meeting for a minute. I'll be right back.
Close the hearing, yeah.
Okay. This is a continuation of the January 4th, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves case number 311 for property ID 11790102. The property is owned by Stephen J. Pierce with no D. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office and no one present for the appellant, so I will hand it back to the board.
Since no one is present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
No.
Close the hearing.
And then I'll go ahead and read these together. This is January 4th, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves two cases. The first is petition number 1491 and for property ID 10702173 for 2019. And the second is case number 1492 for property ID 10702178, also for 2019. Both of those properties are owned by Rose Valley Estates, LLC. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Brenda Christina present as the representative for the appellant present over video chat. So go ahead and raise your right hand. We'll get you sworn in for both of those.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in these hearings will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, again, that we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of these two properties as of January 1st, 2019. Keep in mind the assessor has presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as to the outcome. And he had 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. And the assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. And I'm just going to make a quick statement. We have heard the properties that go along with this in a previous hearing on October 12th, 2020. And these properties are the same as the properties that we heard in succession of lot numbers at that time. Is that a correct statement?
Yes, that's very correct.
And do you have anything else you want to add to this hearing at this time?
That sounds like I probably don't have to, but I guess I should add just this, is that based on what you just said, these were two were inadvertently missed, and these two, I think, were the ones that were appealed, right, so we appealed that to the state and won that appeal, so that's why we're hearing these two, and because of the findings for the one that you just said this happened previously, these two would be included with that, and so the findings should be the same. That is what I would like to add. Thank you very much. And you're disappeared again. All I see is the telephone.
Really? I'm here.
Yeah, I see no face. But there you are. Oh, good. You had to move or something like that. Oh, wait, you're gone again. That's terrible. I'm going to miss you because I like you guys. Oh, well. Okay. There you are.
Okay. Any questions, John or Lisa?
No questions.
No, I have no questions.
I have no questions from anyone. Okay, well, thank you. My gosh, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was fast.
All right. You'll hear from us in 30 days. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Yeah, bye. Happy New Year to you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, guys. Okay, how do I get out of here? Let's see. Like this, I guess.
So you can go ahead
if all else fails, you can pull the plug.
I'll go ahead and drop you off. Thanks for attending.
Okay, bye, you guys. I just love you. Bye. Okay.
She's the only one that says she loves us.
Yeah, right. Well, we've definitely given her an education, that's for sure.
She's
okay,
so
real quick, Dan, do you want me to close it?
Close hearing.
Okay. This is a continuation of the January 4th, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 310 for property ID 481-70060. The property is owned by Edward J. Tamayer and Georgine Tamayer. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Edward J. Tamayer present for the appellant over video chat. So if you could go ahead and raise your right hand, we'll get you sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2021. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay, thank you. You'll have to bear with me. I'm not very familiar with the software, even though I'm a techie. The main thing where I want to start is one thing I did not provide for you is the fact that I live in the Vancouver Center condominium tower that's right in downtown Vancouver. It's the old Lucky's Brewery block. I live on the 10th floor, so there's four floors of condominiums on top of seven floors of commercial property, which would never be a condominium in today's condominium law. That would not be allowed, I don't think. The main thing I want to say about that is the fact that as opposed to, you know, the local, like a suburban setting, every unit in my building was built in the same year. Every unit in my building has the same windows, the same siding, the same roof, the same floor, the same, you know, construction. Everything is from the outside envelope, the hallways, elevators, everything is exactly the same. So I understand that typically you would say, don't look at your neighbor's property values. But in this particular case, there's some extenuating circumstances that I feel this is like the only way to look at this, okay? Well, not the only way, but I think fair way. So as far as history, back in 2015, I received a property valuation from the county assessor's office. It was very similar to what this situation is like, where I received an assessment that went up something like 65% in value in 1 year. And when I did a check of my neighbor's properties, they all went up like 3%. So I was sticking out like this, you know, fish out of water thing, you know. So I called the county. I talked to the whoever was in charge at that time. I'm not sure what the guy's name was. I don't have it right. Where did it go? Anyway, Van Orton, maybe? Something like that?
Oh, Peter Van Nortwick?
Nortwick. Okay, so I asked him to look into it because it was so odd, and he agreed that it was odd that my property was that different. And apparently, they left me a voicemail. The problem is I don't have any, I'm under oath, so I got to be careful exactly how I say this. But he left me a voicemail, which I no longer have. He indicated to me that he found some sort of problem with the, what do they call it? Something tables, cost tables for my unit. Probably, I'm guessing as a mathematician that because it's the smallest unit in the building, basically, he said that he found the error, reported it to whoever was supposed to fix it, and then apparently did something called flat valued my home for that year in the system, which was still too high, but I didn't want to go all the way through arbitration with the board. So I just said, sure, fine. It was way less. It was a much more, it was like 6% instead of 3%. It was still a huge increase compared to everyone else, but I took it. So then I got a, if you look at my latest addendum, which is mostly what I'm, addendum number two, which is mostly what I'm going from, for this, on page three of that, you can see that I've transcribed the voicemail from the county assessor's office, and where Linda McLean said that as some sort of reevaluation, something, physical reevaluation, she just picked me. I don't, for whatever reason, I'm the only person apparently in the building that's got this reevaluation thing going on, and she removed the flat value, put back the cost tables, and then added in incremental values from all of the sales that occurred in the general area.
What page is that on? I'm looking for the...
Oh, addendum number two. It's the one I sent, to Michelle recently.
Okay.
So this is not one addendum. This is not one that you guys would have. This is intended as table evidence. So do you have that where you could put it up on your screen? I can put it up on mine if you need me to.
I can try to remember.
You should have presenter privileges.
Is it under the menu bar?
Down at the bottom, there should be a little bump that says share. And then you can pick if you want to show as a PDF maybe, or you can show your full
that's
screen.
Where I'm, yeah, I've got like 27 things open on my... So addendum 2, page 3... So this is the transcript of that voicemail, and you can see, I'm assuming you can see it now?
Yes.
Okay. So they removed the flat value that Van Orton, or Van, whatever his name was, put in. And so like I said, I remember when I was talking to him, he said that there was some sort of issue with that, and they were going to fix it. And then the other thing that I took from that is that the comment in that, it says that I was only receiving our annual updates, implies that I have not been paying my fair share of taxes or was not paying less than my neighbors. So if we go and look at the original appeal that I sent form and go down to page 14 on that, or my, excuse me, 9 of 14, the first thing that I see is I made a graph, which I just went by.
We've got that page.
Right. So if you look at 9 of 14, you can see on that, on the top chart there, what I've graphed out is the price per square foot for myself and all of my neighbors. On the 10th floor since 2015. And you can see mine is this dark blue bolded line. And you can see that my price per square foot has been completely within the bounds of all of the other units in the neighbor on the floor until this year, where you can see this massive increase that my neighbors on the same floor did not receive.
This is assessed value, right?
The assessed value from the assessor's office, correct.
Okay.
And then you can see the same thing in the increase. If we just say, how much did my home value increase since 2015? You can again see that I follow right along with everyone until this year, where you can see that my home is by far the most value increased home since 2015.
So the information that you have on comparable sales, that's what we're interested in, comparable sales.
Right, which brings me to my next point.
Okay.
Is, again, on the assessor office included three sales, apparently, okay, that were sold. And you have that information in that original as well. So they're claiming that they used these three properties, right? So the average price per square foot, if you take all the three of those properties, is I get an average price of $385.79 per square foot as a starting point. So I don't know if that's exactly how they do it or not, but if they use those all three sales, there was one sale in my building on the ninth floor that was recently upgraded, like massively upgraded. It's a corner unit. It has nice balconies, fantastic views, all these kinds of things, which was by far the most expensive property. And in fact, almost exactly the same amount of money as my property is currently assessed at. And then it's saying in here that, you know, again, my comment that the fact that this condominium probably couldn't exist with today's condominium laws. The fact is no one can get a loan to purchase a home here. They're almost all cash sales. It's very difficult to get a loan because of the configuration. So there's some sort of 8% downward adjustment for additional financing costs. And so apparently they applied this supposedly to all of the units in the building, which would take us down to $354.92 per square foot. So the thing is, my property is being assessed at $517 per square foot. I'm not seeing where the other $175 or whatever is coming from. $165 per square foot is coming from. If we looked at the price of unit 930, which sold in my building last year, I calculated there could be as high as a 14.4% increase from the floor by floor by floor, which you guys understand is used in the assessment, right, to calculate. That only comes out to be about $406 per square foot, taking that 930 value, which still puts my assessment should be somewhere in the neighborhood of $415,000 instead of $520,000. So there's a $100,000 gap here. Okay. Now again, my assertion is that these units are not the same. I've shown some photos in some of the other, in my original two documents, showing that there's these large upgrades for other units. My unit has these builder grade, you know, the least cost effective stuff, original, that you can get, okay? So these cabinets are all just obviously just like really, really cheap. My countertops are this old style granite. Look how thin that granite, those granite slices are on the countertop. It's not a solid piece of granite. It's like the cheapest stuff they could find. It's the leftover stuff. My flooring is this old laminate stuff that's like kind of plastic, whatever. It scratches really easily. You know, the grandkids come over and like there's big scratches all over in the floor. The molding is like the cheapest stuff you can buy. If you look at some of those other photos, you'll see that many of them have like the really nice crown molding, you know, nice mahogany type kinds of wood. My kitchen, my bathroom sink is just like the cheapest Kohler thing that you can buy with floor tiling as the tile on the countertop. And if we go back and look at what the appraisals kind of things should be, and again, I've stated a bunch of these things already in that other, in my other documents. You know, it's like I'm saying, I understand this assessed value isn't supposed to be used, but I mean, we have a unique situation here in that I have been picked out of all of the condominiums on my floor. I am the only one who's had this new thing applied to my condominium. And so when we say, here's a bunch of very similar units, right? Very similar homes. It's not like the neighborhood where you could have like a, you know, a mansion sitting next to a shack, right? So since everything's the same, what's the possible differences for valuation? The view, number of rooms, interior finishes and design, and then intangibles. So on the view, only two of the eight 10th floor units have had their views completely blocked by the waterfront construction. Okay, my unit and 1025. All other units in this building on the 10th floor have additional unblocked views to the north and or south and or east. If you look at my original addendum, you can see that the view out of my home is to a HVAC unit on top of the neighboring building that puts out about 86 or 87 decibels when it's on during the summertime. Okay? If that building was owned by someone else, it would be illegal. But since it's owned by the entire park block, there's an, what do you call it? The law has whatever the word, they're allowed to do that because we're all in the same block. Okay, so that's 86 decibels. The people on the 930 that was used as part of the assessed value is on the southeast corner of the building, does not hear that 87 decibel thing. Their views are not blocked by the Columbia, by the new waterfront. They have these massive views. You can see on those photos that I showed you of Mount Hood, Mount St. Helens, Mount Adams, the Columbia River, downtown Vancouver, right? So if we look at the finishes, I've already talked about this. Almost all of the units on my floor have been remodeled in the past since I've moved in, okay? The unit to the north of me was remodeled. The unit to the north, the other unit to the north was either remodeled or was purchased with the original upgrade finish that you could get when you first purchased these back in 2005. One unit on the east side was completely remodeled several years ago. It was then subsequently remodeled again, okay? They had to get a crane. They shut down Washington Street, and they had several work crews remove a 6-by-20-foot plate glass window so that they could get a single piece of granite put into the kitchen because it wouldn't fit in the elevator. Okay, that's how much money is going into some of these other units. The south's been remodeled. There's a whole bunch of other things. The other unit on the south corner that's right above 930 has been remodeled twice in the past 3 years. So at least five of the eight 10th floor units have been remodeled, while my unit remains as built in 2005. Number of rooms, 7 of the 8 units have 5 rooms. I've got 3. 7 of the 8 have a large balcony or 2 small balconies. I have a French balcony where you can't even stand out there. And 7 to 8 units have 2 deeded parking spaces. In the parking garage, I have 1. Okay? So all I'm saying is, the main thing I'm saying is that my property cannot be $100 more per square foot than some of these other mansions that are in on my floor. Okay? And so I'm just questioning where these numbers came from. Why was I picked out? There's a comment down here that said that there's a statutory requirement to place all properties at market value each year. If my units at market value and mine went up 44%, I think it is, how is 3.5% of my neighbors? So I don't think that the same standard was applied to my property. So from an assessed value, if you compared them, like if an appraiser came over here today, an assessor, and physically looked at all of the units, I do not believe that my unit would be assessed at the highest value. Other than that, I don't know what to say.
What's the size of your unit?
Mine is 1,023 square feet.
Okay.
It's just a coincidence that it's unit 1023 and it's 1023. Every other unit on this floor and all of the units used for the sales that were used, all of them have much greater square footage, have much greater, have five, at least five rooms, if not more, compared to my three. And so again, I just don't think that they're similar properties. The properties that were used for this assessment are not similar enough to my property to be used.
I think I have enough to work with. In fact, if you appeal next year, there is a comparison worksheet that you can use that would probably save you a lot of calculating. It just has columns and you can put your information in the subject property line or subject property column and then put your comps in the comparable sales columns, and it would probably make things simpler for you and focus on comparable sales.
Yeah, and that's what I've done here. The fact is that those units are not comparable to my unit. They're not in the same classification. It's as if the county is comparing the mansion to the shack.
Right.
And saying, oh, you get the mansion price. And in fact, more than the mansion price. We're gonna give you another 25% or 30% above the mansion price. Okay, that's what's happening here.
Yeah.
So where's the spreadsheet? I mean, I'm sorry,
Well, you get it online. The same place where you pulled off these appeal forms, it's right there with it.
Okay. But that's gonna give me the same amount that the county used, right?
It's not going to give you the same amount. It's just a worksheet that you use to compare your property with the other sales.
Okay.
With comp sales. So.
Sure. All right. My business is doing spreadsheets, so, you know.
What did you use to determine the value that you put on there?
Ultimately, what I did is using a whole bunch of different ways to, on the original form on page, on page, you know, in on top of everything else that happened, my main computer, the camera went out, and so I'm using a computer that I don't normally use either. I had a chart, which I can't get to because it's on the first, it's maybe on page five or so of the original document. There's a chart that shows the various ways that I went about trying to find something that was comparable, or some way to find some sort of clarity. And so what I used as an average, yeah, it's on that's still going, sorry. It's on page 7, I think. 7 of 14.
That's part B. There are three comparable sales available.
No, it's six. There's a chart.
There you go.
Yeah, on that page, yes. And up above that, you can see that I made a little chart, a summary chart. So if it really fresh for me. Okay. So I did several different things. I just looked at, the value of the unit 923 can't be used because it apparently was a cash sale or a probate sale or something like that. So ignore that line. Also ignore the next line. It says if all four sales were used, because I included the 923 sale, which should not have been included, which I didn't realize at the time until the county wrote back. So every unit on the floor, by the way, had a 3% increase in valuation. So if you just took my unit previous value and added 3%, you'd come up with an $11,000 increase. If I just take an average of all three of those comparable sales, like the average value, just that without putting any other calculation to it, that would be like $17,000. If we took the percent increase in assessed value for all of the other units on my floor and applied that to my unit, it would be like $36,361.
I got it.
You know?
Yeah, we've got enough information, I think, okay, to make a decision.
Yeah.
Right. So my number was close to that 400, like the 445, I think I gave you, which was really close to like all of the averages put together, and then just sort of something in between that at least puts me in the ballpark of what everyone else in the building is at, rather than being the most expensive property in the building.
Okay.
Got it.
Next year, just look at that worksheet. It'll be a lot simpler for you.
It's possible. I'm worried that we might be back here next year, because if they didn't correct the cost tables, my opinion as a mathematician is there might be something wrong with the cost tables, where if there's some sort of division going on and is part of the calculations, and because my unit is so much smaller than the rest that it goes to less than one, obviously dividing doesn't give us a smaller number as expected for all the other units, gives us a much larger number. And so that's why we keep seeing these huge price jumps in my unit and not in the other units. But maybe they fixed it and just didn't put it back. I don't know what's going on.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Michelle, for your help too. Very good job. I appreciate it.
She's muted. Hope she heard you.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Oh, muted back. Yeah, this way. Yeah. Okay. You must end it, right? Or do I end it?
I'll go ahead and drop you off. Don't worry about the thing. It should drop off when I drop you off. And then, Dan, do you have enough for me to go ahead and close the recording?
Yeah. Close hearing.
Okay. This is a continuation of the January 4th, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves case number 306 for property 665-90000. The property is owned by Kevin J. Tully and Emily S. Lynch. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office and no one present for the appellant, so I will hand it back to the board.
Since there's no one present for either party, we'll make a decision based on the information available. Any questions?
Nope. No questions.
No. Close the hearing.